Missed it live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, thank you so much for staying with us. 16 minutes after 8 o'clock. So the Department of Transport today announced that there will be the postponement on that demerit system that we had been for a long time now spoken of. And the department issued a statement earlier saying that there are a few reasons why the postponement has to happen. They are on the line to explain that to us. Transport Department spokesperson Colin Msibi. Thank you so much, Mr. Msibi, for your time. Good evening.
Good evening and thanks for having us.
Let's talk about some of the reasons why this postponement has to happen.
Well, in the main, I think the issue was we've had to align the implementation specifically with the financial year of the local government, because the implementing arm of ARTO is mainly the local government. So some of the municipalities in this regard, they were raising some of the concerns in terms of the finances that they've got to budget accordingly in terms of this. So this is an oversight which we've had to then accommodate in terms of ensuring that let's start with the implementation on the 1st of July, which is the start of the financial year of local government. But secondly, we had done some amendment to the regulations, specifically that deals with the allocation number. In other words, when a law enforcement officer issues an infringement notice, it has to be assigned to a specific number. So that requires some kind of training with the law enforcement officers. So I think that particular deferment to the 1st of July would allow us to also undertake and intensify that kind of training with our law enforcement officers. So in the main, that's basically the issue. Because you would recall, I mean, the issue of ARTO, where there's more financial demand is at the local level. So they've got to vote for the budgets, which would obviously have to go into the implementation. So some of them are ready, to be honest, but they are those that are not. So we've also got to be fair. We don't want to have another E-Natives, if you recall, in 2007, where we ran into problems when we were implementing the E-Natives. So basically, that's the reason.
You know what I wanted to ask you was whether... Is it because they cannot fit it into this budget? Because I wanted to then say, well, you know, they knew this was coming. Or is it that they need more money? In other words, they would just have to lobby and justify getting more money to accommodate this adjustment.
Look, most of municipalities, they do have the money. Mm-hmm. But there are those that do not, they don't have enough money. So you would rather do it properly, because you don't want to be implementing a system and then all of a sudden 6 months down the line they've run out of money and then we are stuck. So rather just align it with the financial year so that they then budget accordingly. There's a vote by the council into the budget of the implementation. Otherwise there's agreement with the implementation, so then we need to make sure that the local government do have, they have the budgeted money for the implementation.
In terms of support, how much capacity are you giving to supporting them? Because, you know, we also know, as you said, you know, they're not all equal. Others are more efficient than others and others will require more support. Just maybe by way of your department, to what extent do you have to step in and support them?
Well, what's been happening...
Not necessarily financial, but, you know, as you were saying, that for some it would be the systems and so on.
Yes, there's been training of law enforcement officers, but there's also been training of back office personnel. In other words, those who are behind the system. So the training hasn't just been about the law enforcement officers.
Yeah.
So that's been happening. RTMC has been focusing on the law enforcement officers. RTIA, which is the agents implementing arm of this particular system by the department, which is RTIA, has also been focusing on the personnel in terms of training them for the readiness of this particular system.
I mean, so for those who are struggling, are they, you know, the kinds of issues that that stood out for you that you can talk to?
Yeah, as I say, I think the main has been the issue of finance, that the voting of the budget, that they would need to take that into account, because they must get the stationery, they must get the gadgets to be able to issue infringements and to read your license. So it's quite a lot involved that requires local government to have the money. But I must say, the others do have that money, but we can't say, okay, implement, others wait and so forth. We want, when we implement, we got just go full blast.
Yeah.
So which is why we've said, let's rather just do it by the 1st of July, which is the financial year, and then they would have voted for the budget for it at that point. Yes.
So I believe you will be publishing the new proclamations very soon. So when you start on the 1st of July, will you still have the same kind of program? In other words, it will be still staggered, or will it be a different approach?
It would certainly be staggered. We just don't have the new dates yet.
Okay.
But we do know that we would start on the 1st of July. So the proclamation will happen sooner than later, so we'd know quite soon and would announce that. But certainly, we are still adopting the staggered phased approach, so that we are able to manage these accordingly. I think the staggered approach, it also assists us to see and to get some of the lessons from the municipalities that would start, so that when we move into the next phase, we know what are the issues that we need to be dealing with. So it will still be staggered. And the last phase is obviously which is what is going to be an important part of the implementation, is the issue of the demerit point system. And that comes right at the tail end. And that's really going to affect you and me.
Yes.
When they suspend your license and so forth. So if I can speak on that, I mean, when you've got 15 points allocated,
yes,
once you pass that threshold, your license will be suspended for 3 months. And you've got to hand over your license to the issuing authority. And if you are found to be driving when your license is expired, then it becomes a criminal offense.
Yeah.
So if your license is also suspended 3 times, then that is when it is scrapped. So you've got to start afresh.
You know, Mr. Mzimu, the only reason I didn't ask is because we had a whole 2-day tutorial with our audiences on this. So we're not happy with you, but we understand.
Yes. So it's I've always had the answer. I mean, there's people who are saying, what about the professional drivers who are just depending on the driving?
Yes.
What about them? Did we think about them? And my answer has been very simple. Just obey the rules of the road.
So to what extent have you been speaking to other stakeholders? And I get that. I mean, I think everybody wants law-abiding citizens. But there are, you know, stakeholders who say no. You didn't consult enough. There are things that we get the understanding that we want to all be law-abiding citizens, but there are things we could maybe have shared ideas on that you probably shouldn't have just gone ahead without consulting them. What's your view on that?
No, certainly. There's been stakeholders who are writing to us. Even today, I think I can't remember the organization, but it's responsible for trucks.
Yes.
That they've written to us, they are very unhappy about us with regards to this particular system.
Yeah.
But at some point, we've got to make that decision to say, how do we save this country from the carnage that we see on our roads, where 49 people can just die in one accident?
Hmm.
You've got to draw the line at some point. I mean, in terms of consultation, remember, it's been a long time coming. I mean, this thing, I think, started around 1998 or so, and we had the first proclamation in 2008 when we started in Tswane and Johannesburg.
Hmm.
So it's been working in Tswane and Johannesburg, except that we haven't implemented the demerit point system in those two municipalities, but it is there. That's why sometimes when you go, we are blocked, you can't renew your license and so forth. It is ARTO that's doing that to you. But if we were to then implement the demerit system it means then your points, once you reach your 15 points and then you pass that threshold, then we take away your license. Mm-hmm. So that's been the difference. So this proclamation of 1st of December was the second one, So which has now been postponed. So we've got to withdraw that and do another one for the 1st of July.
Look, thank you very much for that update. I really appreciate it. And obviously, you know, we'll keep people updated as soon as you release the new proclamation, as you said. I do appreciate your time.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Colin MCB,
thank you so much.
The Transport Department spokesperson. Thank you very much. Listening into that conversation is Outer CEO Wayne Duvenich. Thank you very much, Wayne. Thank you so much for your time. Good evening.
Thank you. Nice to be with you this evening and your listeners.
Okay, Wayne, we're here now. Your comments as Outer.
Well, we're not surprised. You know, we've said for some time, and this is not the first time it's been delayed, and I can assure you it's probably not going to meet the deadline for 1st of July next year. Number of reasons, but, you know, the reasons that they're citing, which is, you know, the non-completion of training, law enforcement officers, and harmonizing the enforcement systems, they've known about all of these challenges for years now. I recall back in 2007 when I was in the car rental industry, headlines saying that after a couple of years of testing it with Tshwane and City of Joburg, they were ready to launch nationally. It's 20 years later or 18 years later, and here we sit. And so you've got to ask yourself the question, why? Why do we still sit here? Now, we're not opposed to a demerit point system and having law enforcement working properly. But there's so many other things you've got to get in place. And you know, when you listen to the spokesperson, of course we've got to fix things. But you've got to start with things like vehicle testing stations. Have you seen the research that we've done where you can buy your vehicle roadworthiness for nothing? There are taxi companies that own vehicle testing centers. You wonder why taxis are not roadworthy, yet they can drive with no consequences on our roads, not only them, others. So we've got some serious problems that we've got to deal with on road safety. If we're going to deal with the carnage on our roads, let's start with the basics. Because if we can't fix that, then how are we ever going to address getting law enforcement right and road safety right in this country?
So in your view, what are the real reasons? And I take your point about the report that you've released on some of the issues, for instance, in the vehicle testing stations. But what do you think are really behind why this is not moving ahead, and you think we're not going to get to that point even by the 1st of July?
Look, you've got a national entity, Road Traffic Infringement Agency, and it is usurping on the powers of local government. Now, we went to court on this, and the courts ruled that the RTIC can carry on a national basis. Exactly the same thing that happened on the ETOL matter, where the court said, look, SANRAL can go ahead and toll. And we said it's not about just going ahead and tolling, because the problem with this government so often is they think they can legislate and just regulate everything and fall into place. But it doesn't work like that. You've got to be practical about how it is applied and how it works. So I don't have to tell you what happened to ETOLs. And the same thing here. Now, nationally, you can tell the municipalities you will do this and do that. But we've already seen Western Cape municipalities, mainly DA-ruled ones, are saying, no, hold on. We have our powers. We will run our own traffic management system. We will keep all the money because RTA takes a big cut of these funds. And we've been managing it very well, thank you. And they do. They have far better law enforcement on traffic, road traffic infringements in the Western Cape and well-run municipalities than they have in many ANC-run municipalities. And that's not punting a political situation. It's just the way it is. You see it in the Auditor General's reports and so forth. So they will run their own systems. Now you've got a bit of a fallout and a problem for Archer. You know, how do they get the demerit point infringement notices into their system? And these are some of the challenges, administrative challenges that the system has been faced with. They haven't trained people. We should have known about this a long time ago. Systems aren't working in many municipalities. People move on. They have staff turnover. They take ages to get there. Then when they want to start, some municipalities say, well, we're not ready. Our people that have been trained aren't here. Our systems aren't in place. You know, administratively, There are ways to deal with this, but we need to get the stakeholders together. I've said it before. We need to engage with government. They need to engage with civil society. I told you in the past we've had meetings where we set up workshops with role players and said to RTA, please come and listen and let's help you and let's work together to overcome these hurdles. And they haven't. Now, we have reached out recently. There are plans to meet, and that's good. And for the first time, we will be engaging with them. It hasn't happened yet, but we'll get there.
When is this likely to happen, Wayne?
I don't know. It was supposed to happen recently, after one of these engagements on air where it was said, you know, why do we have the standoff? We said, well, we've reached out. So we have reached out. They have agreed to meet. Mm. I'm not sure when it is. It's imminent in the next few weeks or so. We're just battling to get diaries to agree. It is one of those things. But it's more than that, you know. It's not just about RTA meeting with RTIA. Mm-hmm. There are many role players out there.
Of course.
We've recently seen, you know, these regulations that were released, and this is the type of frustration we have to deal with. The regulations released last month are not even legible. It is so blurred that nobody could read them. And you've got to ask yourself and ask the RTA, how does that happen? Just a basic thing like getting a scan right on a document and putting it out there for people to read. How do you introduce something that you cannot read? It's illegible. If you have a look at it, it's blurred to the extent that you cannot read it. That's how bad the administration of this process is.
Hmm. Wayne, we'd love to hear, you know, how that meeting went, but thank you very much. And you know, as you're saying, hopefully we'll get feedback on other meetings that are happening with other stakeholders and see where this is going to lead. Thank you very, very much for your time.
It's a pleasure.
CEO Wayne Dubonnet.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.